Today, his overpowering and blazing justice is hidden. It is ignored. It is mocked. But then, he's going to terrify them when it is revealed. Today, his divinity is denied even by church leaders, even by clergy from the pulpits that are denying the divinity of Christ. Oh, but then they're going to bow to him.
This is Leading the Way with author of the new book, Heaven Awaits, Dr. Michael Youssef. One topic Christians often avoid is the judgment of God. But the fact is, the Savior who came to earth as a baby in a manger will one day take his rightful place as judge. Today, Dr. Youssef continues his inspiring series, The End of History and You. But before he begins, we do know that sometimes it's not possible to stay and listen to the entire message. So that is why we want to encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and download the Leading the Way app for your mobile devices. You can learn about all of the ways to watch and to listen when you visit ltw.org. But since you're here right now, listen with me to Dr. Michael Youssef as he takes you to 2 Thessalonians for this episode of Leading the Way.
Whenever someone wrongs us, the first reaction, human nature the way it is, the first thought that hit us is revenge, right? How are we personally going to avenge the wrong that is done to us? How are we going to hit back even harder than we are hit? How are we going to pay back double or triple or more? And then we conjure and we plan retribution. How are we going to do this? In fact, we talk about sweet revenge. You hear people joke, but behind the joking, there is seriousness. I don't get mad, I get even. Some wise person said, listen carefully, he said, your enemies are a very valuable asset as long as you refrain from striking back at them. You say, well, how come? Because they keep you on the alert when you might otherwise become spiritually lazy. I can testify to the fact that having critics and having false accusers can keep us spiritually strong. In fact, a pastor friend of mine from Southern California, and he often used to say, he said, Michael, when they kick you in the rear end, rejoice, because that means you're in front of them. Why are harassers and false accusers and critics are good for us? Why? Because they keep us on the knees of prayer for them. I want you to turn with me to verse 5 of chapter 1. And here's the Apostle Paul. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that all of this unjust suffering is actually testifying to the fact of your incredible reward that you're going to receive on that great day. It's a great indication about that inheritance that you're going to receive on that great day. But I want to stop here and I want you to listen for a minute, because a lot of people get confused about this. The Bible never, never, never tries to gloss over evil. The Bible never tries to pretend that evil does not exist. That's not in the scripture. The Bible never says that God winks at evil. No, 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 no. The Bible calls evil evil. The Bible calls suffering, suffering. The Bible calls pain, pain. And what the Bible said is that when believers suffer unjustly, when believers experience crushing circumstances that is beyond their control, when believers are baptized by fire, not only will God be with them and present in a very special way, not only that he will strengthen them in a way they've never experienced before, but God will not overlook the injustice that has taken place. In fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 10, just those five verses, Paul is saying that when the Lord returns and history comes to an end, when he comes to bring history to conclusion, when Jesus The Savior becomes Jesus, the judge, and sits on the bench. Everything that you see right now is going to be turned upside down. Today, people are calling good evil and evil good. But on that day, good will be good and evil will be evil. Everything that has made you sorrowful because of injustice, the injustice in it, is going to become topsy-turvy. In fact, the Apostle Paul answers three questions in these five verses, and I want to share those questions with you. He's answering them to the Thessalonians. He's answering them to all of us. The first question is this: when will God vindicate the believers and judge the non-believers? Secondly, who will be punished? And thirdly, what form will that punishment take? Now let's look at these questions and Paul's answers to them from the Word of God. When will God vindicate the believers and judge the wicked and those who have rejected Him? We saw in the last message that Christ's return will bring the history to a climax. Christ's return will bring an end to the opportunities that everyone has today of repenting and turning to Him and receive the gift of salvation and eternal life. There's going to be an end when the door will be shut and the opportunity is no more. God is not going to just feel sorry for people and let them in. He's giving them the opportunity now. He's giving them the invitation now. He is saying, come to me now. The hour is now. The moment is now. But the day is going to come when that opportunity is gone. Christ's return will be a moment of great separation. The return of Christ will cause the world to turn upside down. Please hear me right. Right here and now, if you have any spiritual sensitivity, you have to agree with the fact that the glory of Jesus is hidden right now. It is hidden. People can't see it. Right now, those who love Jesus are harassed in every way. Right here and now, Jesus' name is used as a swear word by Hollywood types. Every believer today feels the burden. If they don't feel it personally, they feel it for others. But even believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today are not walking in the power of His presence. Ah, but when He splits the eastern sky, He's going to reveal to both believers and non-believers alike. He's going to reveal something that they could not even see. We see it through the eyes of faith. We believe it because God said it. The Holy Spirit testify, the Word testify, but we cannot see it with our own eyes. We will on that day. Look at verse 7. He says, He will reveal. The word here, apocalypsis, means reveal, open, uncover, unveil something hidden, but then it's not going to be hidden anymore. Can you say apocalypsis with me? You got it. Now you can speak Greek. It is such a powerful word. I don't want you to miss it. Because you see, today, Jesus' righteous power is hidden from the world. But then it's going to be fully revealed. Today, His overpowering and blazing justice is hidden. It is ignored. It is mocked. But then it's going to terrify them when it is revealed. Today, His divinity is denied even by church leaders, even by clergy from the pulpits. They're denying the divinity of Christ. Even so-called Christians, even those who call themselves born again, they're denying the divinity of Christ, the very corner of the Christian faith. Oh, but then they're going to bow to Him. You see, here and now, they act as if they are gods in arrogance and haughtiness. But then they will cry to the rocks and to the mountains, and they will run from mountain to mountain and say to the rocks, cover us, hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne. Jesus' first coming was in humility, which caused some people to mock Him, caused some people arrogantly to make fun of Him. But then when they behold Him, when He comes with an iron scepter, they will mock Him no more. Look at verse 7 again. He will return, not alone. He will return with the mighty angels. He will return in blazing fire. Where does Paul get this information? Well, the Holy Spirit gave him to him, but he also takes it as straight out of the mouth of Jesus. Matthew 16:27 Here's what Jesus said about his return. Here's what Jesus said about that day. He said, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what he has done. You see, Paul did not make up the stuff. He takes it right from Jesus, from his lips. But that's not all. That's not all. On that day, he's going to return with flaming fire. You say, what is that flaming fire that Paul is talking about? Now, this is the fire of judgment. This is the fire of his blazing justice. This is the fire of consuming and destroying sin. This is the fire of the furnace of his avenging his faithful children. This is the fire of his divinity that people denied it and mocked it and refused to believe it. In fact, Paul tells us that on that day, his return will reveal his two-sided, twofold justice, relief for the faithful and retribution to the non-believers. Peace and rest for the believers. Pain and suffering for his enemies. Refreshments for his suffering saints. Revenge for his deniers and false believers. And those who, in apostasy, turn their back on him. He's going to vindicate the believers and judge the unbelievers. The second question is, who will receive this retribution, this judgment? Verses 8 and 9. The word retribution here means full measure. Full measure. It's not going to be just partial. It's not going to be just a slap on the wrist. No. It's not going to be just a partial. It's going to be full measure. That's what the word means. So who are the recipients of this inexplicable punishment and judgment? All those who have denied him as the only Savior and Lord. All those who have rejected him as the only way to God the Father and to heaven. All those who have mocked, harassed, insulted, and persecuted his faithful believers. But my beloved friend, you must understand, God's punishment is not going to be unruly. It's not going to be willy-nilly. It's not going to be a hostile judgment or vindictive judgment. It's God's punishment and judgment is not going to be like somebody goes on a rampage, destroying everything in sight. No. That's how humans react. But God's judgment is going to be perfect judgment. It's going to be perfect, absolutely perfect. And this is why on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, leave retribution to me, leave revenge to me, because I do a far better job than you are capable of. Because his judgment is perfect. His judgment is complete. His judgment is not arbitrary. His judgment is exacting. His judgment is a righteous judgment. Listen to what John the Baptist said about that day in Matthew 3:12. He said, his winnowing fork is his hand. Well, some of you might not know what a winnowing fork is. Back in the old days when they cut the wheat and they bring it all on the thrashing floor. And with heavy sticks, they will beat the wheat. And then they wait for a windy day. And this long fork, long wooden fork, that's called a winnowing fork. The farmer would just lift up everything off the thrashing floor. The windier, the better, because the wind blows away the chaff, all the husk, and the wheat will come on the thrashing floor. Now that you understand that, let me read you the full passage from Matthew 3:12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It's not going to die down. So much for gentle Jesus. So much for the milquetoast Jesus that is preached in many a pulpit today. So much for the meek and mild Jesus. Listen to me, beloved. Anyone who preaches only the mercy of Jesus and does not preach the justice of Jesus is preaching a false gospel. Amen. And misleading a whole lot of people. Luke 21:22. Listen to what Jesus himself said. You see, a lot of people don't want to preach from Luke 21:22. In fact, some people are trying to take it out of the Bible. Some have. They want to cut it out. But here's what Jesus said. He said, His return is going to be a day of vengeance. His return is going to be a day of vindication. His return is going to be a day of just punishment. His return will be a day of controlled judgment. His return is going to be a day of perfect righteousness. His return is going to be a day of perfectly exacting judgment and punishment. Listen, you and I know that a faithful and a good judge always gives the exact punishment to fit the crime, and they don't wink at crime. But just think about this, how perfect and holy Jesus is as a judge. You see, on that day, not one single person who hated Jesus, persecuted his followers, not one is going to say, that is not fair. I did not get my fair shake in this. This is not right. Not one. Everybody is going to stand there, especially those who have rejected him and those who persecuted the believers and those who refuse to believe that he is the only way to heaven are going to say, I got my fair justice. I got my just reward. I deserve this. That's what's going to happen in the last day. It's not going to be like the day where everybody complaining, oh, it's not fair, this is not fair, and my rights and all that. No, no, no. On that day, all of those who harassed the believers, harassed the followers of the Lord Jesus, they're going to say, I got my just deserves. When will that day of vindication be? When Christ appears in His glory. Who will be punished? All those who have refused to believe that He is the way, the truth, and the only giver of eternal life. All those who have rejected Him and His believers. The third question that Paul answers here, what form of punishment will this take place? Look at verse 9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. When we think of destruction, like these storms, and they just destroy. A house will be there and it disappears. That's total destruction. That's not what it means here. They're not going to just disappear. It does not mean that they will be demolished and gone. It does not mean that their suffering is going to come to an end and that they're going to vanish somehow. In fact, they will be longing to vanish. They really will. They'll be longing if they can disappear. They'll be longing. But what's going to happen is what the word here means is that they're going to lose everything that makes existence worthwhile. These lost people will not cease to exist. They will experience forever a life of hopelessness, emptiness, and meaninglessness. Their life will have no value, no purpose, and no hope. While they'll be paying for the rejection of Christ, for insulting His followers, His believers are going to be blessed and rewarded for eternity. Verse 10, on that day, He comes to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at and be marveled at among all those who have believed. And then Paul goes into the Thessalonians and says, this is including you. And I believe it's not a stretch of the text to say that's including every believer today. This is including you because you believe our testimony to you. According to Philippians 3:21, we will have bodies like Jesus' body after the resurrection. Our character is going to be Christ-like. It's not something to be praying for and longing for and singing about. We will have it. We will have the character be Christ-like. He will be glorified in us and we in Him. Now let me give you a use of translation, what Paul is really trying to say here, okay? Here's what it means. We're going to look at each other on that day. The believers are going to look at each other and say, can you believe this? Did you ever imagine this like this in your wildest imagination? That's what he was trying to tell you. I'm just trying to put him in the vernacular. Did you ever think it would be that fantastic? Did you ever think it would be just incredible?
Did you ever imagine how wonderful it is? And we say, no, not in even our wildest imagination. And then in verses 11 and 12, he says, Paul is praying that they'll always be encouraged by that day. That they'll always be encouraged and encourage one another. Beloved, we must always, always pray for one another as we look forward to that day to come. Even as we labor, even as we serve, even if we give of ourselves, even as we give of our resources, even as we do all that within our powers, every time we have a breath serving Him, but we look forward to that day, knowing that day is coming. Instead of spending your life filled with anger and bitterness and thought of revenge, instead of spending your life saying, oh, woe me, look at me, licking your wounds, instead of having a life of bitterness, remind yourself and others of this great day. Amen?
Amen.
Spend your life praying and encouraging one another by getting ready for this most awesome, amazing, eternal reigning and ruling with Him. In verse 12, he said, for Jesus must begin to be glorified in us here and now. Let Him be glorified in you today. Let Him be glorified in your use of your time. Be glorified in the use of your resources. Let Him be glorified in the use of your testimony. Let Him be glorified in the way you deal with people and in relationships.
Thank you for joining listeners across the world for Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. You can learn more about Dr. Michael Youssef and Leading the Way when you give us a call, 866-626-4356. Speak with a ministry representative or go online to ltw.org. Now, before our time is gone for this episode, allow me to quickly mention a resource that Leading the Way is offering to encourage you in your faith walk. My devotional is a daily email. Dr. Youssef explores the life-changing words of a verse or two from the Bible, and then he offers practical words of application to what's happening in the world, in the church, and in your family right now in 2024. My devotional is also available as an audio podcast. The email is perfect to read at the breakfast or the dinner table, prompting reflections and even deeper discussions. And the podcast, well, that can help redeem the time while you're in the car, or enjoy it whenever and wherever you consume your favorite podcast. You're listening to My Devotional, the daily devotional from Dr. Michael Youssef and Leading the Way.
Nourish Your Faith by Dr. Michael Youssef. We tend to speak of faith as if it were a tangible commodity that can be measured and weighed and quantified. People sometimes say, I wish I had your faith, as if they were saying, I wish I had your blue eyes, or I wish I were as tall as you. Some people talk of faith as if it were here today, gone tomorrow.
Information about both formats of my devotional is available for you at ltw.org. Just go there, fill out a short form, and you'll begin getting the daily email. And if the podcast is what you'd really like to do, then use the link at ltw.org. Or search for My Devotional in your favorite podcast platform. This content will be a life changer as you seek to live a life of willing obedience to God and to His Word. Once again, it's called My Devotional.
Did you know that Leading the Way has free downloads? You're sure to find something to encourage and challenge you in your faith. To see what is currently available, start at ltw.org. Once there, find the store link. You can browse the many audio, video, and print products by Dr. Youssef. And then click the free digital resources link. This page populates with all the current free downloads. There are seasonal items, faith-building downloads, and content offering you tips and challenges to reach out to others and effectively share your faith experience. The place to start, once again, ltw.org. Check back often as the team adds valuable resources regularly. ltw.org. Click the store link and then free digital resources. Do it today.
This program is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth around the world.